that brings us to my next guest. It's Jeremy Reisman, Pride of Detroit. You can find him on X at Detroit Online. His feed is full of links to great articles and deals on breakfast sandwiches. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing over here?
Thanks for joining us, man. I mean, let's get into it. Over the weekend, from an experience standpoint, was the NFL draft everything you thought it would be?
Oh, man. And more, honestly. You never really know how the event's going to go downtown, and, you know, I don't know the last time Detroit had anything this big before. And so, there's some concerns you may have. There's some, you know, excitement things that you might have. And, you know, everything that I hear in terms of feedback of how it was downtown, obviously the attendance records were incredible. And the scenes on TV and photos was just breathtaking, honestly, at times. So I think you could say the draft itself went off probably way better than most people's expectations. And the thing that's really exciting about it for me is, like, now you're starting to hear rumblings that, like, maybe they're going to get an NHL All-Star game. Maybe they're going to get an NBA All-Star game. You know, this seems like maybe this is just kind of the beginning of a kind of renaissance in Detroit being a mainstream destination for big events.
I don't know if you remember when the Super Bowl came here, but it was just so bitter cold that, I don't know, it was just tough to enjoy that. But this was just so different, and it was just so electric. I mean, it didn't hurt that the weather was fairly good all weekend long, but from that experiential standpoint, phenomenal. But from the Lions standpoint, I don't know where you were on the spectrum of, I want Tyrion Arnold before the pick comes in and everyone goes crazy. But were you on that bandwagon before that name got right off the card?
Yeah, I had a specific person in mind once I saw that they traded up, but I kind of had a feeling it might be a cornerback. I had joked, I think, the week before that they trade up and go get Quinyon Mitchell, kind of half jokingly. And he was kind of my guy a little bit over Tyrion, but I kind of had him 1A, 1B. So, I think Lions fans should be pretty darn happy with them being able to get Tyrion where they did, because, you know, I think when we thought, you know, imagine they trade up for what it would take to get Tyrion on or Quinyon Mitchell, that I think most people's top two, you were talking about trading into the teens. You were talking about trading into, you know, maybe the top half of the draft. So to be able to get him in 24, and sure, it did cost him a third round pick. I think that was pretty much worth the trade up and worth getting what I think the Lions probably think was the best defensive talent in the draft.
You know, I think one of the things, and we were talking to Lomas about this earlier in the show today, is that I respect the fact that when they make these moves, and I know they traded a future three, I know they even traded a current three, and they traded a future four, but these guys that they go get, it's either they're so convicted or they do their homework. I mean, in the case of the tackle from University of British Columbia, but they're trying to swing for a home run, and I can't help but respect that. What did you think about those two picks in the middle round?
Yeah, they were certainly interesting. They definitely seemed like you said, they're big swings at the bat there. And I think it's, you know, my kind of take on the overall weekend is Brad Holmes is really gaining a lot of confidence. He's really, if you kind of see the progression of his draft picks, you know, he didn't trade all that much early on. He did some trade ups and trade downs in year two. But now, you know, four trade ups in this draft, you get a guy, like you said, from British Columbia and Giovanni Manu. You get Sione Vaki, the safety turned running back turned special teamer. These are kind of big swings. And listen, given his track record, it's hard for me to really, I don't know, heavily criticize these. But I think it's also worth pointing out that these are risky picks. And you can say maybe, you know, the Lions roster is in a spot where you can take a little bit of a risk. You can take a little bit of a swing in the fourth round where, you know, I think most people would look at Giovanni Manu and say, all right, he's big, he's fast, but he's going to take a long time to get used to the NFL game. The Lions seem to be thinking maybe he's going to be a guard. That's a long-term project. We take our long-term projects in the fifth and sixth round, not the fourth. But Brad, yeah, I think you're right. Like, Brad has a lot of conviction, and I think he also has a lot of confidence in his coaching staff. I think that's kind of a little bit of the reflection of these quote-unquote risks is, all right, yeah, Sione Vaki maybe hasn't played a lot of running backs since high school, but we think we have a really good running backs coach. Maybe Giovanni Manu is going to take a while to adjust to the NFL level and adjust to right guard, but we have one of the best offensive line coaches in football, so we believe we can take him a little bit around earlier just to make sure he's on our side.
I keep playing around with Sione Vaki, and I'm trying because I like to play the comp game, and I try to figure out who these guys remind me of, and I literally, for the life of me, I can't cop Sione Vaki to anyone. I wanted to do Taysom Hill, and I can't even put Taysom Hill on Sione Vaki. Help me figure out who this guy is.
Yeah, I mean, the comp I make, and it might feel a little underwhelming, is a safety turn running back that was on the Lions team a couple of years ago, and Godwin Igwebuke. He was a guy that did a little bit of returning, was a pretty good special teamer for this team, and even flashed a little bit in running back when they need him. I think he's got a much higher ceiling than Godwin did, but Godwin's a guy that they really liked in this building. I think they just kind of found themselves at a little bit of a logjam at running back. And so, I think there's more meat on the bone. I think he has a real chance to be kind of, a gadget player, a guy that they build specific plays for on offense. The personal protector position is kind of important on special teams. It's a guy that's right in front of the punter. He's important for the Lions because a lot of times that's the guy running a fake punt. And the guy who did it before was CJ Moore, but he obviously had that suspension last year. And so they were kind of looking around. I think Jalen Reeves-Maven was the guy who was doing it last year. He wasn't quite as good. So I think they're going to get very creative with him. If you're looking for a guy who might be like that fake punt specialist, I think it could be him. But I think in due time, he's also going to have a few interesting plays in the playbook for him, too, on offense, because we all know Ben Johnson is a guy that can certainly come up with something interesting for him.
We're talking to Jeremy Reisman of Pride to Detroit. Speaking of versatility, so I call baseball games, and so I was imploring one of the broadcasters I was calling baseball with to go look up DJ Reader baseball highlights, because they are just the most incredible YouTube video watching. And I'm just fascinated to watch how he works his way into this defense, because he's just such a mammoth human being. But more importantly, he's going to be such a huge help for what they're doing. The offense, by and large, isn't going to change a whole lot. Of course, they're going to have a few changes with Jonah Jackson being gone and, a change at the guard spot, but by and large, that's a pretty same offense coming back. But defensively, what are you hoping to see other than just the obvious?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think DJ Reader is such a huge piece of the puzzle, not only in terms of what he can bring to the field once he's fully cleared of his injury, in terms of like interior pass rush, that's going to be huge. But they got a veteran in that room that can help some of these young guys, that can help Makai Wingo, a guy they drafted this week, and that can help Levi Onwuzurike or, Broderick Martin. They have a lot of young guys in their room, but I think what they've really done a good job of, really through the years, is to pair this really, really, really young roster with one or two veterans at every position to kind of help make sure they're doing things the right way and developing. And so, interior pass rush, I think, is key to this defense improving. We saw all the pressures that Aiden Hutchinson got last year, led the league, according to PFF. But in order to kind of turn those pressures into sacks, you need a little help. You need someone else directing the quarterback to you. You need someone else, blocking off escape routes for the quarterback. And so getting a little interior pass rush from him, you also add Marcus Davenport, who can play a little bit inside. You hope that Josh Pascal takes a little bit of development. And then obviously the biggest change they've made at all is that cornerback room. It's completely overhauled. We're going to see two new starters this year. They have maybe four capable starters on the outside corner position, and now you got Brian Branch in year two, and he might be moving between nickel and safety. So it's always kind of a mix between getting that extra pass rush and being able to cover a little bit longer. But that's clearly what the Lions needed to improve in most, because the run defense was fantastic last year. And so it's just that it's getting a little more into your pass rusher, making sure your cornerback can hold just a little bit longer, and hopefully that makes some massive changes in their pass defense.
I know typically once teams have to start paying guys, a window of opportunity can tend to close. I don't think that's exactly going to be the case with the Lions, but they did just pay Amon-Ra St. Brown. They did just pay Penei Sewell. But how long can this window of opportunity stay open despite them paying these guys slowly but surely?
Yeah, I would say it can last as long as you keep drafting well, because that's really the key, is you have to maintain a young, cheap roster on some end, and then you can pay the foundational pieces on the other end. The only way you can really compete when you have foundational pieces that are the highest paid players at their position is if you have those guys on rookie deals. And so, you know, that's why there's a little bit of me. It's like, okay, you're taking these big swings, Brad Holmes, but remember, you're going to have to hit on these guys consistently to make sure that this window is consistently open. But the other thing I would say is it's never an issue. No team is ever complaining that they have too much talent, right? And so this team is still incredibly young. They're still, you know, in terms of, you know, average age, I think they're still bottom five or bottom 10 in terms of, you know, I should say youngest five, youngest 10. So that's a big key to being successful. And then, you know, at some point, being this good, being this consistent, being this young and talented tends to attract some veterans that you can get kind of on the tail end of their career and help that kind of reinforce having an expensive young roster. You can draw some of those guys in free agency that maybe you weren't able to 3 years ago when this was an up-and-coming team.
Josh Reynolds is out the door. What's fair expectations for a full, healthy year, no suspension for Jameson Williams?
It's a good question. It's hard to know because there's obviously still a lot of room for his development. We saw him certainly come on towards the end of last year, but it wasn't like he was a 5 or 6 or 7 reception a game kind of guy. But I'm not sure you necessarily need that. The way I like to look at it is, you know, let's look at the production of Jameson Williams and Josh Reynolds last year. It was about 1,100 total yards together. Now, could you see Jameson Williams and, let's say, Donovan Peoples-Jones combine for 1,100 yards this year? I think that's a realistic expectation for those two. Of course, they could always bring in someone else. I know a lot of Lions fans are hoping they go out and get DJ Chark or any other the free agency wide receivers there. But I think a reasonable expectation is like 500 to 600 yards from Jameson Williams, maybe, you know, a handful of touchdowns in there, and just kind of being that guy that also impacts everybody else, right? Like once he becomes a bigger threat and you know, a more frequent target for Jared Goff, then he's going to start drawing attention. He's going to start drawing, you know, the defense into a, you know, two deep shell. There's going to be two deep safeties there, and then you can run the ball more effectively. Then you can throw underneath more effectively to Amon-Ra St. Brown or Sam LaPorta. So, well, I'm not necessarily expecting, you know, a 1,000-yard season or anything crazy from Jameson Williams. I do think he's going to obviously see an increase in his production, but maybe even more importantly, we're going to see defenses start to kind of take him more into consideration, and that'll open up some opportunities for everybody else.
Jeremy Reisman, Pride of Detroit. What's the last thing? I know June 1st is not that far away. So what's the last thing? I think there's a little bit of flexibility left for Brad Holmes. I mean, what do they need to do? Like, what's the last thing on their shopping list?
Yeah, I think it's probably a veteran safety. You look at that room right now, and it's really only three players deep. You got your two starters in Ifeatu Melifonwu and Kirby Joseph, and like I said, Brian Branch might play a little bit there. But you don't have much else in terms of reserves. Again, it's a really, really young room, and I do think they, in general, like to compensate that with a veteran. And so I'm with a lot of the Lions fans here that I think it just makes too much sense to give Quandre Diggs a call up, see if he's willing to finish out his career back here and, you know, sign to a 1-2 year deal. Hopefully not too expensive given he's still out there on the market, but you know, you're right. They have a little bit of wiggle room. You know, if they get a Jared Goff extension done, relatively soon, that's actually an opportunity to open up more cap room by kind of decreasing his cap hit this year while obviously increasing it in future years. So I think those are probably the two things that I think are on the to-do list is let's get Jared Goff another 2-3 years on his contract and let's bring Quandre Diggs back. Why not?
Jeremy, good stuff. I appreciate you taking some time out. I think a lot of people are really pumped after what happened over the course of the weekend and maybe also what happened over the course of the last couple of seasons. Can't thank you enough for taking some time with us. Thank you very much. He's Jeremy Reisman from Pride to Detroit. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.